most wonderful in every way. Whether you answer the way I want you to answer when I pray, or whether you wait that I may not even see it, or whether you do it before I even ask, you're the same wonderful. You're faithful in every way. Now, Father, I'm trusting you this morning. There's needs in this church. There's needs in our lives. We're fighting battles. Lord, we've got lost people. Lord, we've got lost children. We've got lost grandchildren. Father, we've got the lost neighbors, lost friends. And Father, I pray that you would convict them of sin and righteousness and judgment. Father, for those who's leading them in sin, Lord, I pray for the dope dealers and for those who sell the liquor and those who make the liquor, for those who promote the liquor in our county, God, I pray that you would convict them of their sins. For those who spread the ill and the evil, God, I pray that you would show mercy. Lord, we're bombarded with everything from TV and radio and media and cell phones, and we see sin everywhere. Oh, God, I pray that people might view the cross and look to you. Lord, may we be sick of sin. God, make me sick of the sin that's in my mind and my heart. Turn me against me this morning, I pray. God, would you have the Holy Spirit turn me against me, that I would not enjoy the filth that's in my mind and my heart. God, I pray that I might be wholly thine this morning. Give us power this morning. Search us, O God. I'm asking that we might walk with you and talk with you and live the way you are, whether the world does or not. O God, help us to stand. Help us to stand. Give us power as you see fit. I'm asking in Jesus' name, I ask, and amen. When we think about the cross and we think about this time of year, it's not just this time of year that brings this message. I try to preach the cross as much as possible. But I'm going to look at a few scriptures before we get into the message. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. To start with here, we'll give you a main text verse that we'll use for the next today and tonight and next Sunday. But then we're going to separate some things out. But listen carefully to what the scripture says. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we're going to start at verse 1. This is Paul speaking here to the church. He's speaking to the church. Now, you listen to me. He's not out there in line with a bunch of sinners. He's speaking to the church folk.
That's right.
And he says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also you are saved, if ye keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Now, that is the gospel. We know that. That is the gospel. But if you look, it's the gospel of the cross. It's the gospel of the cross. It's the gospel of the empty tomb. And that gospel does not change. This word does not change, and that gospel does not change. It's by the cross and by an empty tomb, the sin debt's paid on the cross, and the resurrection power at the resurrection of Christ then gives us the victory because of the deeds done on the cross. It's that Christ died for our sin, was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scripture. That's what the Bible says. Now, look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And we'll start at verse 17 here. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17. And this again is Paul preaching to the church. He says, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect." We got to be careful.
Yeah.
That the cross of Christ is still effective. That it's shown that it's still effective.
Yes.
That it still works.
Yeah.
And wisdom of words will water down the gospel.
Yes, right.
If we're not careful. Because we don't want to hurt feelings and we want to be easy, we want to be modern. Can I tell you, it's not modern, it's everlasting. And it's as good today as it's ever been. And Paul said, for Christ sent me not to baptize. Let me tell you what, we're seeing a lot of emphasis on baptism.
Yeah.
And they're having meetings. And having meetings in schools. And they're bringing the water trough in. And they're baptizing two at a time. And hear me now. Listen close. I'm not negative Nanny. I'm just telling you. We're going to preach this morning.
Yeah.
And the emphasis on the baptism. And the emphasis on what you receive at the baptism. But that ain't what Paul said. Paul said, he said, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Can I tell you, the gospel that's being preached today ain't the gospel. It's a sugar-coated, less filling, tastes great. Like the liquor that everybody's pushing today. Are you hearing me? That's what we push for the gospel and for salvation. But let me tell you, it ain't like that, neighbor.
That's right.
It ain't like that. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Verse 18 then will be our main text for the next few services. And we're going to give you another passage here to preach from. But it says here, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. The world today thinks it's foolish.
Yes.
To preach the cross. But what's sad is coming into the church realm and under the skies of religion and Christianity that the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. And it's still the blood. It's still the cross. It's still the blood that washes the sin away. It's still Christ who died in my place. It's the risen Savior that I serve. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He's living no matter what men say. I see His hand of mercy. I hear His voice of cheer. And just when I need Him, He's always near. He lives. He lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. But I'm telling you, it's the crucified Savior that I'm talking about this morning. It's the one who died in my place. The just dying for the unjust. The one who was holy dying for the unholy. The one who was headed to hell dying that I might go to heaven to be with Him. It's Christ in Him alone this morning. It's Christ in Him alone. But that's not what we're seeing today. We're getting it. We got another gospel going. Hear me today. I will not forsake truth for unity.
Amen.
So just in case anybody ever wonders why I don't go here or there, I'm not forsaking truth for unity.
Amen.
Huh? Everybody understand me? Now let's look on. What's the message today? What is the message today? Well, the message of Christ is a hated message.
Yeah.
But yet we're seeing hundreds run to the message that's preached.
Right.
Well, what are they running to?
Yeah.
What are they running to? Now, I'm glad for anybody to get saved, don't get me wrong, but everybody's saved the same way. I don't care who you are, where you're from. You either repent of your sins and trust Christ or you don't get saved.
Amen.
No matter what, how old you are, how young you are, what country you're from, what state, huh? What planet, I don't care.
That's right.
Huh? There's only one way. And listen to me. The message of the cross is offensive. The gospel is offensive. When you tell somebody you can't do it like that,
right.
Pull that offense.
Yeah.
We need to tell somebody, you can't do it. Well, yes, I can. No, you can't. It's Christ.
Amen.
And it's Him alone.
Amen.
Huh? I'm seeing these big meetings that we're having and we're pushing. Now listen to me. Listen to me this morning. And we're trying to build the kingdom. Have you heard that?
Yes.
Where's that at in the Bible? We're not building a kingdom. That's not Bible. We're trying to increase the bride of Christ. Christ come for a bride, to make up a bride. He'll worry about the kingdom after the tribulation period's over. We're not doing kingdom work today. We're searching for a bride for Christ.
That's it.
Huh? And the reason they're wanting the kingdom is because in the kingdom, everything's peaceful. Everything's good. Everybody gets along. Huh? That's why we're pushing kingdom. Everybody's got to get along. Now, Christians ought to get along. Huh? But we ought not get along with the world. Huh? I'll just go ahead and tell you, that Mountain State, as long as I'm pastor, ain't never going to put a float in for the St. Patrick's Day parade at the bar. Just got to make sure everybody knows that.
Amen.
I'm not even going to go pass tracts out.
Right.
And you're not either, not representing with anything with Mountain State on it.
Amen.
Huh? Stay away.
Yes.
Stay away.
Amen.
Yes. I'm not promoting. Let me tell you how pretty sin is. Everybody listening to me?
Yes.
I'm not on no soapbox. I'm going to preach the cross.
Amen.
Huh? Tell you how pretty sin is. If you want to see, I don't know of a prettier beer joint than the tractor bar. I don't have a prettier one nowhere. It's beautiful. Huh? But inside is adultery and fornication and dope and blasphemy. And it's pushed and promoted. And our sinful, evil county runs to it that we might line up. That we might line up in sin. And promote the filth. And we won't stand against it. We got leaders in our town. The town of Summersville. The mayor and the county commission. And all the city officials are wicked as hell. All of them. The mayor and all the city officials are wicked as hell. Because they block off the courthouse and the main street and let the county undo their beer and their liquor and their alcohol and promote it. And I'm telling you, it's because they preach a different gospel and people run to it. Because these people go to church in the churches that's in town and you're wicked. You're evil. Woe unto him that gives these brothers strong drink. Woe, woe, woe. And I'm going to stand against it. I'm against liquor. I'm against beer. I'm against wine. I'm against snuff. I'm against cigarettes. I'm against cigars. I'm against adultery. I'm against fornication. I'm against lying. I'm against cheating. I'm against cussing. I'm against unfaithfulness to church, unfaithfulness to your spouse, unfaithfulness to your job. I'm against laziness. I'm going to preach against it. And the cross is the only answer that you can have. That's the way it is. That's the way it is. And we ought to stand against it. The only hope is repent. Repent, repent, repent. Huh? Repent. And I won't have no part of it. I won't have no part of it. I'm not building a kingdom. Huh? Trying to get people saved out of hell. Let me tell you how popular the message is. We all right? We ain't got to the message yet. We just introduction. When we look here in Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. You have Jesus starting his earthly ministry. Here in Luke chapter 4. If you go back and read in Mark chapter 1. And verse 15, throw it up here on the screen. Mark 1:15. Throw it up here on the screen to keep me from going back to a throw it up here, Mark 1:15. And it's saying, the time is for this is Jesus. This is his first sermon. And the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. That's what Jesus said. Well, I don't know. I'm just gonna go ahead and stick with what Jesus said. Huh? I figured if he's wrong, then we're all wrong. I'm gonna go ahead and stick with him. All right, repent and believe the gospel. Repent and believe the gospel. But I look here in Luke chapter 4, and let's run down here. I'm going to read real fast, all right, so you may not be able to catch up. I'm going to start at verse 16, Dave, all right, and you catch up. I'm going to go down through 30, and I might skip around, all right? You ready? Get your shoes on. We're going to go here. Luke chapter 4. It says verse 16, and he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. He went back to home. Jesus went back down to the town where he raised that. So that's what it says, ain't it? Where he'd been brought up. And he came to Nazareth where he'd been brought up. And as his custom was, he went to the synagogue. As his custom was, he went to church when he's supposed to go to church.
Amen.
He went to church. He went down to the house where he was raised. And when he got to town, he went to church because you're supposed to go to church.
Yeah.
And he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. Always good to read the Bible. There was delivered in him the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place wherein it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." That don't mean people without money. That means people who are poor without the Spirit. They don't have God. Okay? He sent me to heal the brokenhearted. They are. They're brokenhearted. They had a religion that never satisfied. They had a religion with no joy. That's all they had was religion. There wasn't no peace in it. They were brokenhearted. We okay?
Yeah.
All right. Then it goes on and says, to preach deliverance to the captives. They're in captive today. They're still captive. There's people bound in the chains of sin. They're bound in the chains of deception. They're bound and they're addicts. Can I tell you, there's addicts in the church this morning. You know, there's people that's addicted to liquor. There's people addicted to wine. People addicted to beer. There's people addicted to cigarettes. People addicted to snuff. Huh? People addicted to coffee. People addicted to chocolate. People addicted to bread. People addicted, we're too fat. We eat too much. We don't eat right. And that's just as wrong as laying somewhere with a whore or a whoremonger and being drunk on dope and kissing a boyfriend. There's no different than none of it this morning. But we don't never look at it that way. We pick and choose and we live like hell and want the blessings of God because we're in the kingdom. And it's everything good in the kingdom. We all do good in the kingdom. The lion lay down with the lamb in the kingdom. And the wolf lay down with the kid in the kingdom. Everybody's good in the kingdom. That's no. Now it's a hard message.
That's right. That's right.
You're right. Let's look on. Heal the broken heart, preach deliverance to the captive, recovering the sight to the blind. Blind, they can't see the right way. You know why people are lost? Well, they can't see. How are they gonna get out of the wilderness? They can't see. Huh? To set at liberty them that are bruised. To preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book. Because that's all there is to say. He closed the book. There wasn't no need saying nothing else. Because that's it, bottom line. Okay? We still okay? Now look what happened. Verse 22 says, "And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth." All right? But then, let's look back. Let's drop up here. Let's look to verse 24. We still okay?
Yeah.
"And he said, Verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you the truth, many widows are in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heavens were shut up 3 years, 6 months, When great famine was throughout all the land, but unto none of them was the last sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elias the prophet, and none of them was clean, saving Naaman the Syrian. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with joy. And they were filled with wrath. And they rose up and thrust him out of the city and led him into the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. Don't sound like kingdom to me. He preached and said, well, we'll just kill you. Well, that was just down home where all of his family was. That was down home where he was raised, where all of his family was. Are you hearing me? They said, well, just throw you off a cliff. You ain't telling us stuff like that. See, but the gospel that's preached today, everybody runs to it. I ain't found that yet. I ain't found that in the Bible. Huh? Are we still okay? Well, let's look here just for a moment. We're going to preach if we can. Luke chapter 9. We'll give you a few things and we'll quit. Luke chapter 9. Jesus is the main character here. We still okay? Everybody understanding me this morning? Luke chapter 9. You say you preaching like you're mad. I am. I am mad. I'm heartbroken. I'm mad. I'm upset. Huh? I'm sick. Huh? Because of the blindness of the people. Because of the sin of the people. And then I looked in the mirror and I said, oh, Mark, you're not sick of yours either. You're not sick of your sin either. Because you ain't changing. You ain't quitting. Huh? I said, oh God, where have we went to? Where have we went to? Huh? How far away have we went? To where nothing phases us. To nothing bothers us. To our burden is gone. And our eyes are dry. Huh? Where have we went? Huh? In Luke chapter 9, verse 18. Our title's the cross, all right? That's our title's the cross. The first thing I see in this passage of scripture is I see who he is. Speaking of Christ. When I think about the cross, now let's go back and get a little bit of foundation of what I'm talking about. I'm talking about God who died on the cross. I'm talking about the cross of Calvary.
Yes.
First mentioned, if you would, as a place there at Abraham's Calvary on Mount Moriah. Same mountain range where Abraham sacrificed the provided ram instead of his son. Hallelujah. That showed me that there was one going to come. That was said instead of them killing me, that there was going to be one from that God done provided that was going to die in the stead of me. Hallelujah for the ram.
Amen.
The Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. As Christ died on Calvary, he died on Calvary, was buried and rose again. And that's who we're talking about. We're talking about that Christ, that God, that Savior. Luke chapter 9, verse 18. It came to pass, as he was alone praying, speaking of Christ, his disciples were with him. And he asked them, saying, whom say the people that I am? They answering said, John the Baptist. But some say Elias. And others say that one of the old prophets is risen again. He said unto them, but whom say ye that I am?
Yeah.
Peter answering said, the Christ of God.
Yeah.
That's who I believe you are. I believe you're the Christ of God. I believe you're Him. I believe you are Him. And what does it say? And He says in verse 21, and He straightly charged them. He commanded them not to tell no man that day. He wasn't ready yet. Peter said, you're the Christ of God. Do you understand who died on the cross? It wasn't just the Son of God, but it was God. You understand that the Son of God, Jesus, is God. That He's God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. You understand that God is the Word, and the Word was God. The Word was with God. The same was in the beginning with God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That's what the Bible says. We understand that this Christ of God is God. That He's not just a teacher. But He's God. He's not an angel. For Hebrews 1 says He's better than the angels. And He's not a prophet. For Hebrews 1 says He's better than the prophet. There ain't nobody any better than Jesus this morning. Ain't nobody any better than the one who went to Calvary. Ain't nobody any better than the Son of God who come down and walked down them ivory from the ivory palace and put on a robe of flesh to come down and walk among sinners, of whom I'm chief. As Paul said, I agree with him on me. And know that He come for one purpose, and that was to die in my place this morning. He's the Christ of God. He's the Christ of God. Not a man. Not a legend, not a myth, not a story. He's God. He's God. I see who He is. He's God. As I see who He is, then I read on verse 22. We okay? Saying, this is what Jesus said, saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be slain and be raised the third day. The cross. Jesus tells them first about the cross. He said, who am I? You're the Christ of God. Then He tells them what He come for. You see who I am. I see who He is. Can you see who He is this morning? But then I see why He came. I see why He came. I don't just see who He is, but I see why He came. What did He say? Let's read it again. For the Son of Man must suffer. The first thing is He must suffer. He was going to suffer. Well, look what He started suffering. That His family walked away from Him. His earthly family. His mother and His half-brothers, they all walked away from Him. Some didn't believe till long after He had arose. Some of His kinfolk didn't even believe. Can you imagine? He had to be different as a kid. I bet that got on their nerves. He never disobeyed. You say, well, how do you know? Because He was without sin. He was God. And I bet His brothers and sisters said, ooh, He gets on my nerves. Mommy's favorite. Daddy's favorite. How can you imagine? Jesus, go do that. He went and done it. I bet sometimes He'd done it before they asked. Because He was God. Think about that. Are you listening to me? He didn't complain, young people. He didn't complain about chores. He never backtalked mom and dad. Never backtalked. He didn't run around behind the barn and smoke a cigarette. He didn't run around behind the barn and tell you to rub a snuff. I know. You tell me all chews. But that's okay. You go ahead. I'm just preaching this morning. Some of you cuss, go ahead. Some of you drink, go ahead. But God is going to be your judge.
Amen.
Go ahead and do what you want to do. It's your business. It ain't not my business. But I'm going to preach against it. Just so you know, when I got saved, I threw my tuna biker in the trash. Or when I got right with God, I was saved, didn't know no better. Then I threw it away. That's just my business, though. That ain't yours. It's okay. It's okay. Our pornography's wrong. I left that out a while ago. And our worldly music, that's wrong. I left that out a while ago. I'm going to go ahead and stand again all that too. I'll probably just go ahead and stand again cell phones, and I'm again Facebook, all that filth on it, and TikTok. I think maybe God's showing us we need to get on Facebook and get where we can do what we need to do another way because of the filth that's on Facebook, TikTok, Snapchat, and all that other filth. But that's another message we're just preaching this morning. He's going to suffer many things. And it started with the rejections at home. And then it started with the lies said about him. And you know, we don't like nobody lie about us. We don't even like nobody tell the truth on us. You know? We don't like it. Yeah. He didn't say, well, y'all shouldn't be lying about me like that. Y'all hurt my feelings. I've yet to read where it hurt his feelings. I've failed to read yet. I ain't read yet where he said, Lord, they talking about me, God, Father, they shouldn't talk about me like that. We do. I'm just telling you some things this morning. And today I'm against everything today. All right. I'm against Chevrolets, I'm against Fords, I'm against Dodges. If you don't limp, I think there's something wrong with you. I'm just getting everything. Right? Might just die like this. Huh? Suffer many things. Then it says to be rejected. He said, suffer many things to be rejected of the elders. Why would somebody who's read the Bible reject him when he just come like the Bible says he's going to come? He come where he said he was going to come. He come how they said he was going to come. He come to the place they said he was going to come. He done the things that the Bible said he was going to do. And they said, nope, you ain't him. You ain't him. Wouldn't that be hard? You know how it is to be rejected? You ever done something for somebody, just all you could do, and they spit in your face? Huh? I mean, you've been over backwards, do anything you could for them, and they spit in your face and go on. But you don't really want to holler hallelujah, do you? Nah. Because what you say is, what have I done? And it ain't going to do with you, it's them. We still okay? We still, but look what he suffered. We're talking about suffering. He suffered many things. And then he was rejected. He was rejected of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes. They all rejected him. And then after they rejected him, he had to suffer more. For he suffered then the brutality of judgment, and he suffered the brutality of the stripes and the crucifixion and the thorns on his head and the stripes on his back and the hours without water and the slaps on the face and the beating with a rod and the spit in his face and the stripping and the shame of all of his clothes stripped off. All of these things was done. He done all of that. God. That man done God like that. Think about that. And that's what he suffered. And then be slain. Not only did he do all that, but they nailed him to the cross. Yes. Took a spear and pierced his side and outrun blood and water. He died there. Huh? Now he gave his life. Sure, he gave it not as a martyr, but as a sacrifice. But then he made sure he didn't stop there. He said, because this is what he must do, for the Son of Man must He must. This is a must. This is a must. Are you listening to me? Saying the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be slain and be raised the third day. Hallelujah. He told him, he said, all of it's going to happen, but I'm getting out the third day. I'm getting out. Huh? So I see why he came. I see who he is. And I see what he came to do, why he came. The cross. I see the cross, the gospel. That's why he came. To suffer, to bleed, to die, to rise again. I see all that in verse 22. The entire gospel in verse 22. The cross. If I glory, I'm going to glory in the cross. If we glory this day, we ought to glory in the cross. Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die. Huh? Yeah. My Sovereign, God. Huh? What a song. Huh? At the cross, where I first saw the light. And the burden of my heart rolled away. For it was there by faith I received my sight. And now I'm happy all the way. Huh? It's the cross. Huh? So I see who he was. And I see what he come for. But now this is going to rub us the wrong way. Because then in verse 23, I see the way we come to him. And this is where the rub comes in. This is where we've changed the gospel. Listen to me. He didn't say, but. This is all one statement. Mm-hmm. All right. And he said to them, he told them in verse 22 what he came to do, and then he explains this to them. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. And follow me. Well, that's not the gospel today. The gospel is not deny yourself. Who comes to Jesus now and denies herself? Who comes to Jesus now and denies herself? No. They put Jesus in their pocket and still be the same man they were. How many comes to Jesus and denies themselves that nothing else but him? See, I think there's some things missing. Now, I'm not giving a different gospel. You got to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. But when you come to Christ, there's something that has to be taking place.
Yes.
All these hundreds are being saved in these meetings, in these schoolhouses everywhere. Are this the same ones as members of the FCC, like they are in Nicholas County, that still drink, cuss, and still members of the Fellowship of Christian Athletes up here in Nicholas County High School? Where's the change? And there was a hush over all the people. They're no denying self. Because we're not in the bride for Christ, being a clean bride, we're in the kingdom. So we got to have a different gospel in a different way. So there's no strife, and everybody come together. Everybody be one. Now deny yourself.
Yes.
Then it says, take up your cross daily. Now we've Everybody's throwed that part of Scripture all the way around, and Schofield makes it a discipleship course. I don't see it that way. I see it what Jesus said. Others might see it as a discipleship course. I don't. Okay? Everybody know where I'm standing here. He said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. That means you can't have Jesus and everything else.
Right.
It's him plus nothing.
Amen.
Now, is it him plus nothing or not?
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, it can't be part way. If it ain't him and him alone, we can't sing Christ and Christ alone no more. We can't sing it. We can't sing anything that's going to put all the emphasis on Jesus. It's going to have to be Jesus and me. See, we can't have it both ways. See, we can't be against a little sin and not all sin.
Right.
You're right.
Amen.
Amen.
You're either against it all or you're not against it.
Right.
You're just against what you don't do.
Right.
Huh? And it's either Christ or nothing. If you don't have, Rick told this morning, it's one. It's either Christ or nothing. That means you're going to have to deny yourself. It don't matter how you feel.
That's right.
No matter what you think.
That's right.
No matter where you go. No matter what happens to you. Amen. You deny yourself. And when it said to pick up your cross, did you know that that wasn't a burden? Oh, I've got my sciatic nerves hurting me. That's the cross. That ain't what he's talking about. When you mention the cross in that day, you mentioned you coming, you're going to follow me, and you're going to die.
Right. Yes.
There ain't going to be no joy in it, because your joy ain't here, your joy's in me, your joy's up there, but you follow me, you're going to die.
Amen.
And it might be today.
Amen.
Does anybody come to Jesus because they think you're going to die? Say, yeah, I'll sign up for that. I'll sign up and we'll die. I'll sign up for that. These boys did. That's why they died.
That's right.
And that's why you can't tell no difference between the church and the tractor bar and the mayor's place now. Amen, preacher. That's good preaching right there. We still okay? No, we're not. Take up your cross daily. The cross meant death. It's not a profession. It's not a profession. You're signing the dotted line to go to the front line and be shot at. Not to go in the mess hall and be fed. And we come to Jesus to get fed. Because we ain't denying ourselves. I don't mind going to church a little bit. And I read a little Bible. I pray a little bit. I lift up a hand a little bit. But I ain't going to die for him. Maybe we won't live for him. Because we ain't denied ourselves yet. I'm just wondering how many of us are really saved myself. I've wondered all the last couple of days if I'm even saved. You say, well, you shouldn't think it. Well, I am. When I read the Bible and I see me, no, it ain't lining up. And when I read it and see you, you ain't lined up either. All I see is an American Jesus.
Hello.
I see American Christianity. I don't see Bible Christianity. I see American Jesus. I don't see Bible Jesus. Huh? Oh, Tonzo from Burma sent me a picture.
Yeah.
Yesterday, maybe Friday. I forget what day it was. He sent it to me. He's one of the ones I support myself. Tonzo from Burma, and he said, "We'll show you." And it's big fire. Just everything's on fire. He said they're burning my church. They're burning our houses. He said they're burning everything we have. He said some of our members we can't find.
Right.
He said, "Oh, to win them to Christ."
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. My back hurt. I think I'll just quit. I'll get SSI. Go get me a mental check or something.
Preach.
There's three things that we're missing. Can I give you three things? I showed you three things we see. I see who he is. I see what he came to do. And I see the way we're to come to him. Deny ourselves. Huh? That's what it says, ain't it? Yeah. Take up a cross daily and follow him. Follow him. Just follow him. Just follow. Not get ahead of him. Not try to drive. I showed you, you know. Now try to drive. Let him do driving. Alright? I'll give you three things real quick and we'll go home. Here's what we're missing in this new gospel. Here's what we're missing in everywhere today. It seems like we're missing the condemnation of sin. When I view the cross, it ought to bring a condemnation of sin. When I view the cross, that God is dying in my place, a filthy sinner, and I know me, you know you, you know your thoughts, you know what's come out your mouth, you know what your hands have done, you know what your where your feet is taking you. Huh? But we're missing the condemnation of sin. Sin don't wait on us. We relieve sin from people. We relieve the pressures of sin for people. And there's no condemnation for sin. To where now when we sin, we don't even repent. We don't repent. We talk about people behind their back, but we don't stand and repent. We lie, but we don't repent. We let words slip. And we say, well, that's just a habit. No, your heart ain't right. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. That's what the Bible says. I didn't say that. Jesus did. But we don't repent. You know, I don't know that I've ever heard anybody stand up and say, you know, I've been having trouble with my tongue. I've been talking dirty. And I want y'all to forgive me because it's a bad testimony for the church. You know, I don't know that I ever heard anybody say that. But yet we do. I'm just telling you, see, sin don't bother us no more. We look at dirty pictures, we look at people, we lust, it don't matter how many times. Now, I'm not against nobody listening to saying that. I'm just telling you how we look at things. We don't think nothing about multiple marriages, we don't think nothing about affairs, we don't think nothing about fornication, huh? I mean, we'll make sure that our 15-year-old girls get on birth control so when they're courting, or no, when they're dating and they're unsupervised, so if they have sex in the backseat of a car or a motel, wherever they want to, they won't get pregnant and we won't have to have a grandkid. So we'll just go ahead and get them on birth control because so they can be ready for marriage. Wait a minute, they ain't supposed to get married then.
That's right.
But we do that because we don't repent of sin. And I know that ain't none of my business. I don't have girls. I had two boys. I'm just telling you. But there's no condemnation of sin. We come into his presence to pray, and we're so anxious to either get it done or so anxious to get what we want that we don't say, search me, O God, and see if there be any wicked way in me. And we don't stop and listen for him to show us. We don't have him search our heart. We don't have him search our mind. There's no condemnation of sin. The second thing is there's no humiliation. There's no condemnation, then there's no humiliation. Because when we come to Christ, there's no condemnation. That's why people come to Christ a lot of time popping their blowgun. There's no weight of sin. There's no weight of sin. We come to Jesus, there's no weight of sin no more. I just need to get this, add this to my bucket list. Add Jesus to my bucket list. Huh? I understand bus kids not being able to come back on Sunday night.
Right.
They make profession downstairs.
Yes.
And they're not back till the next Sunday. I don't understand adults who you don't see again.
Right.
I don't understand that. Of course, that's just me. You know me, I'm judgmental. I'm against everything today. There's no condemnation or weight of sin. Maybe it's changed. Maybe in these modern days, as sin ain't as heavy it used to be. I don't know. Now, and I'm not saying I'm the only one saved here. That ain't what I'm saying. But I remember I've talked to Rick and John Johnson and Charlie and Dave and some of these guys that I know real well that we've been together for years. And you know, I remember when I was just little, I was sin was so heavy on me. I didn't sleep.
Yeah.
I didn't have no rest.
That's right.
It worried me.
Yes.
The weight was just getting heavy and heavy, huh?
Mm-hmm.
And I was just a boy.
Yes.
Huh? I mean, I've heard John talk about that he hated to see LT Jordan even coming because it messed with him. Just soon when he seen LT's car, and it would just start, it just irritating John. Am I right or not, John? Yeah. Dave is the same way with you. You hated to see any of us come by. Huh? You even went and tried to get people to agree with you that you was okay.
Yeah.
Huh? Because you was condemned. Huh? What did you tell me, Rick? That when Trisha sings that song, "He Rescued Me," I've heard you say, "Oh, I about lost my mind." Huh? Because of the condemnation of sin. The condemnation of sin, and then the humiliation that when you come to Christ, you was ashamed. You had, oh God, you're so high and holy, and I'm so filthy, and it humbled you to where you fell down at the feet of Christ at the cross and asked Him to save your filthy soul.
Amen.
Huh? But there's no humiliation no more. There's no condemnation. And no humiliation. And this is what worries me. There's no desperation. There's no desperation. There's no, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Like the Philippian jailer. There's no more. Huh? Dave, you got a birthday next. You got a birthday this week. Coming this week. The 20th of March on a Tuesday. I mean, that was when you got saved. It was on a Tuesday, though. Am I right? Yeah. I ain't just trying to use day, but I just so y'all can understand. See, it's one thing to come at the invitation. It's one thing to come after invitation, but no, not Dave. No, there was desperation. Save his desperation. I'm not waiting till invitation. I'm not waiting till we traditionally sing "Just As I Am." I've got to get saved today, right now. And during the middle of the preaching,
yeah,
he walked.
Yeah.
I watched a man in revival meeting, and I was preaching on hell. And I was preaching hell as hard as God would let me preach. And he screamed. He was on the back. He said, "Oh, I can't go to hell," and run up the aisle as fast as he could run and slid it. I was right in the middle of preaching. I didn't stop preaching. I let him, he had to deal with God. I couldn't save him.
Amen.
Amen.
Desperation. There ain't no desperation no more. I went over to see Autumn's Popo Wednesday. They called and he's dying. He's dying lost. He's 75 years old. And they called and said, "Can you come?" I went over Wednesday. Me and Autumn and Justin went there in his room. He's reached out his hand, shook hands. I told him who it was. He said, "I don't know how much I can talk." I said, "It's okay. Can you listen?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Then listen." So I told him all I could tell him, didn't I, Autumn? I told him everything I knowed. Everything I could from beginning to end, told him. I said, do you understand what I told you? Yeah. I said, do you understand you're dying? Yeah. Yeah, I told them I was dying. They know I'm dying. I said, do you understand that you're lost? Yes, sir, I do. You believe that you're lost? Yes, I do. I said, do you believe what I've told you just a while ago about the gospel, about Jesus dying, that he's God? Yes, sir, I believe that. Well, I'm thinking to myself, okay, this is good. And I said, would you trust Jesus as your Savior now? And he said, no, I will not. No, I will not. I said, well, if you will change your mind, we can tell Autumn, Justin, and I'll come back over and talk to you. I said, but you need to call on God. He reached up and shook my hand. Thanked me for coming. No desperation. No desperation. Huh? Years ago, I've told you about him years ago. Years ago, Clarence Ramsey come time after time to church where I was preaching. And I'd try to win him to the Lord, and no, no, no. So me and little Joe Schaefer, when we pastored close, there was never jealousy with me and little Joe. We'd visit together because the people in the church wouldn't visit, so me and Joe visited together. And we'd go to one house, and if he wouldn't come to Mountain Baptist, we'd try to get him to go to Green Valley. We didn't care. Just so they come to church so they got saved. We didn't care.
Amen.
You know, we wasn't in competition. Amen. And we visited every Saturday, a lot of times, just Saturday after Saturday, visiting together. We went up to see Teetle. That's what we called him, was Teetle. I talked to him about the Lord, and I took my Bible, and I laid it down in his lap. And he and me together cried tears in my Bible. He would not trust the Lord. He would not trust the Lord. I laid on his lap and I prayed and wept that he would not trust the Lord. We got in the car. Joe said, and I don't know what to do now. I said, take me home. Take me home. I can't visit nobody else. I went home. They went back here in the back room and all night. Oh God, will you just spare him tonight? I waited on the phone to ring. I knowed that he would die at night. Didn't ring. We went to church. That was on a Saturday. Went to church on Sunday morning. Now listen to me. I preached on God's deadline. That's what I preached. And he said there was two banks of pews, and he said about where Bub or RC sitting right there, like in that very area right there. And I preached, and he stood, and here he come. And he fell down to the altar just broken and weeping. And he stood. He said, I had to get here. I had to get here. He said, I asked God to let me go one more time. Give me another chance. I won't say no if you'll let me go. He was desperate.
Yes.
And when he stood, he looked at everybody with a smile and said, God said, this is it. If you don't do it today, I'll never speak to you again. That was his testimony.
Yeah.
He was desperate, but ain't nobody desperate anymore. We're not desperate to come to God. We're not desperate to repent. We're not desperate to live for God. Oh, do you understand the gospel this morning? And God come down and died on a cross for you and suffered for you and shed his blood for you, and you need to be saved today, and that there'll be a condemnation of your sin, that you're guilty before God, and nothing is going to relieve that other than Jesus Christ, and then it'll humble you that you've been nailed down. down, and a holy God will take it all away and wash you as clean as the driven snow and give you eternal life. Say, what will he give me? He'll give you forgiveness from everything for everything. He'll clean you up, old neighbor, and it ought to be desperation that you come, that you crawl if you got to crawl, but you come to Christ. That's the gospel.
Yes.
You need Jesus this morning. We need him. We need him. We need saved. People need saved. And we as a church need to be guilty. We need to understand when we sin, we're wrong. Huh? It ought to break our heart. Huh? For every time we do wrong in the face of a Savior. Huh? We think wrong, act wrong. We don't act like Brother Roger prayed. Did you hear Brother Roger praying for us all and him? Did you hear him praying? He was begging God, help us love one another like we ought to. Help us, we ain't doing it. We're not doing it. You hear what he said? God, we're not doing it. Like you said, help us. We just ignore. Because there's no condemnation. When Jesus come into the presence of them old boys, and I'm an unclean man. Huh? When the Peter said, I'm an unclean man. You don't need to fool me. I'm an old sinner. I know what I am. I know. Do you know what we are? Huh? And I believe we need to get shut of this American Jesus. Get back to the Bible, Jesus.
Amen.
To where we're ashamed. There's an old song that says, I'm ashamed when I grumble. I'm ashamed when I complain. Yes, I'm ashamed when I forget Calvary. On Mount Calvary, Jesus suffered for me. And those hands with the nails should have been mine. Huh? I'm ashamed. I'm ashamed. I ain't living better. God, I'm ashamed. I'm ashamed of the thoughts. And I'm ashamed of the shortcoming. I'm ashamed. For you died for me. You died for me. And oh, though I'm saved and though I'm free, oh, the condemnation of sin and the weights of sin is heavy. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Oh, neighbor, are you walking where you ought to be walking? We're talking about the cross this morning. We're talking about the cross of Christ. Are you saved? Are you sure you're saved? If you are you living the way you ought to be living? Huh? Father, speak to our heart this morning. Lord, as we get ready to sing, Jesus paid it all. Oh God, help us to understand you paid it all. I needed to die myself. And I need to sign the dotted line. It don't matter. Lord, I'm coming to you. And I'm going to live for you. God, please help us. In Jesus' name. And amen.